Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, you recall that in the opening of Peter's epistle, his first epistle, in the salutation where he introduces those that he's writing to, there are three encouragements for discouraged saints, three glorious aspects of salvation that, when understood, ought to greatly encourage God's people. And they are, number one, that God's children were especially chosen by the Father. Number two, that God's children are powerfully transformed by the Spirit. And number three, that God's children become lovingly obedient to the Son. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There it is, and that's what we're looking at. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, December 3. Many thanks to those who remember our needs in order that the Beacon Broadcast can continue to air on this station. God's children were especially chosen by the Father, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God's children are those who were chosen by God as recipients of special privilege. That ought to be encouraging. They are elect, as we have seen here, according to foreknowledge, which we explained on the broadcast last week. But I just remind you that when that word is used of God, it means something far more than an ability to know or predict future events. It is a word where used elsewhere, not just this passage, not this text, but in the other places where it's used in connection with God. It always has the idea of God determining and implementing his decisions. It is translated for ordination in this same chapter in verse 20. So check it out. If you don't believe me, check behind me and see if these things are so. But that makes it very clear that election is not divine ratification. It is God's purpose for the ones that he has chosen. Foreknowledge applies to all that is true of believers. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And of course, that ought to bring great encouragement to God's people. The doctrine of election has been revealed to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage the people of God. God purposed to redeem sinful sons of Adam's race. What an amazing thing. Angels sinned against God, rebelled against him, were cast out of heaven, and God had no purpose to rescue any of them out of their condemnation. But in Adam's fallen race, among sinful rebels, God purposed to redeem a great host of Adam's sinful sons. That is an evidence of God's love. That is a cause for great wonder. And that ought to be a great encouragement to the people of God. God has acted decisively and powerfully to accomplish this purpose. God has chosen me for himself. Some people would hear that statement and say, that sounds awful arrogant, but that's exactly what conclusion Peter wants his recipients to draw from this when he identifies the recipients of this letter as elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He wants them to draw great encouragement from the realization that they have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and to realize that the God who chose me will fulfill his purposes in me. That's why Paul could say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can be sure that God will complete what he has begun. If he began it, it will be completed. If he began it, he guarantees it. He assures it. If I began it, then of course I might bail out. And that is the theology of some people, that God can only be a responder, he can never be an initiator in all of this. That would somehow override man's free will and so forth, and I don't really want to get back into that again, but that's the way it is misrepresented. But if that be true, then man is always the initiator, God is always the responder, and so what guarantee is there that this transaction we call salvation will ever be completed? I'm not safely home in heaven yet. I might yet bail out. I remember talking to a person many years ago now and asking him sort of a standard evangelistic question. I said to him, if you died today, do you know that you'd be in heaven? He thought about it for a moment and he said, well, I think I can say yes, if I died today I would be in heaven, but I don't know that I will necessarily be in heaven when I die, because I don't know what I might do between today and the day that I die. I might turn away from Christ. And so what he was saying is, I am saved today, but I can lose it. What he was saying was, I'm saved today because I choose to be saved, but everything depends upon my will, my choice, my determination. And if I, the Almighty I, who has decided to trust Christ today and therefore have salvation, if that same Almighty I decides to turn in another direction and no longer trust Christ for salvation, then I will not be saved when I die. It all depends upon me. Well, I'm glad to tell you, dear friend, that it doesn't all depend upon me, and it really doesn't all depend upon you. If you have any thoughts like this man that I talked to many years ago, I hope that isn't your perspective, but if it is, you think that through. How could Paul say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, if everything depends upon me? Or do you have a gotcha theology? I talked about that many years ago, and it still enlists an awful lot of downloads from the internet when people see that title, gotcha theology. That's the theology that it's all up to me until I make that one-time decision, and after that, I can never reverse that decision. It's like God says, I'm waiting. Ah, you made the decision. Now I've got you. And now I won't let you go. Well, that's the theology of some people. It's gotcha salvation, that God can't do anything about it until we make that all-decisive decision. But once that decision is made, then it can never be reversed. Oh, so man has, in this theology, a free will up until a certain point, and then after that, he doesn't have a free will any longer. That's a strange theology. Really now, think about that. Man's will is inviolable and free, and God doesn't dare, does not, could not interfere with that free will in any way. He must wait for man to make that all-important decision. But if he ever makes it, then God says, I got you, and now the man is no longer free. He is stuck with the decision that he made. He can never reverse it, because now God says, I got you. too late now. You've already made that important, all-decisive decision. Well, that's getting the cart before the horse. And when you understand that God made the first choice, God made the determinative choice, God took the initiative, that my decision, and I made one, and many of them actually, but my decision is a response to God's decision made long before I ever made mine. And I'm responding to God's choice, to God's election, to God's decision, to God's working in my life. I'm responding to the working of God's grace in my soul, and I am being drawn into a relationship. I have been drawn into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am being drawn into a relationship with God, which is eternal. And it is wonderful, and I once was blind, but now I see. I now have a new heart. I have new desires. God continues to work in me, and it is God who will bring this thing to completion. If it were up to me, I'd be lost. If it were up to me initially, I'd be lost. I'd never make that decision for Christ because I wouldn't understand my need for it. The natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'd never understand my need for God unless God worked in my heart to show me that need. And if it were up to me, I wouldn't stay saved. Why? Well, because I am constantly stumbling, falling, and from time to time even kicking at the traces and trying to go in another direction. But you see, God is the one who started this. He initiated it. He is the one who planned this in eternity past, and he's not going to fail. Jesus prayed it this way in John chapter 17 when he said, well, no, not John 17. This is in earlier in the Gospel of John when he said, I think John chapter 6, when Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Now, what comes first and what comes second? The giving of a people to the Son by the Father comes first. All that the Father gives me. And then those people coming to Christ come second. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can understand the beauty and the logic of that verse, and you can appreciate the whole verse when you understand what Peter's talking about when he talks about the work of the Father, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, 1 Peter 1:2. Chosen by the Father. And that is a source of great encouragement to the child of God. Now, maybe on the broadcast tomorrow, I can take a little bit of time to talk about how this relates to unbelievers, this doctrine of election. But for the believer, it is nothing but good, nothing but encouraging, nothing but cause for rejoicing. And let us understand the wonder of it, the privilege of it, the eternality of it, the certainty of it. And let us revel in that as we appreciate what God the Father has done for us in making us his own. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. Until may God give you his eternal peace.